You know, we want golf information here locally. Well, let's just get to the folks on the Hall of Fame committee of the Bloomington City Golf Tournament. The 95th edition just wrapped up with champions in all flights and all divisions. And who better to get caught up on all of that? Plus, the man who broke the news on the big Hall of Fame inductee last Friday with us returns for the recap. It's Chris Williams. Good afternoon, pal. How are you?
Doing very good. How are you, sir?
Well, I missed you this time last year because you were too busy gallivanting all over the United Kingdom, playing some of the finest courses in the world, and attending the 150th edition of the Open Championship. I'm sorry you're with me today. That's my fault.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to believe it's been a year. I long to go back to Scotland. Any time I could get the opportunity, I want to go back. It was pretty memorable, but it's nice to talk with you.
Did you play Royal Liverpool, Hoylake?
We did not. That was not on our rotation, but it's definitely on the bucket list next time we go there.
Did you go to England last time, or were you just in Scotland and that side?
Just Scotland, Aberdeen, Edinburgh, Troon, kind of went all across, went up to the Highlands a little bit, but played a lot in Troon and then played Carnoustie. That was probably our biggest course that we played.
That is a big piece of chicken on the bone, is Carnoustie. Francesco Molinari was your last champion at Carnoustie back in 2018. That should pop up on the rotation here shortly. What did I see today? They announced Birkdale for 2027. I don't know. It's this the rota. You got to know where your rota is at. Well, we don't rotate courses here in Bloomington. The city of Bloomington and Cascades Golf Course hosted the 95th city tournament, and the finals and semifinals were last weekend. And Saturday, we had to dodge Mother Nature for a little bit, but I think we talked everybody out of it again this week. And, a little rough ride there in the morning, but everything seemed to be going according to Hoyle a little bit later in the day. And then the 36-hole finals on Sunday, and you crowned some very, very deserving champions. Let's start with the Men's Open Championship. Was it the teammates battling again?
Yeah, we had the two teammates from University of Southern Indiana in the championship. So Jason Bannister was going for his second straight title. It was one of those where I was kind of following all three of the championship groups kind of back-to-back-to-back and kind of just watching each group go through and then moved ahead and ended that. And, you know, it was a lot of steady golf by Jason Bannister. Jace, today I was kind of chatting with him a little bit. He admitted he did not have his sharpest game in the first 18, and it was minus a mental mistake, you know, a mistake off the tee on the first 18 for Bannister. He blocked one right and hit one out of bounds on 18. He was still three up going into the second 18. And I just think for Jace, he just wasn't able to get the momentum going, wasn't able to get the putter going. And Bannister was able to come ahead 3-2. So he's our first repeat champion since Mitch Ord won back-to-back in 2013 and 2014.
Well, that's a decade. That's a long time for that to go in between. And when we talk about the men's championship, the first time you and Jim Gordillo, I remember you telling me a story talking about having four college kids involved in the semifinals. Is it a new day dawning in the men's championship? And the other part of this question, well, let's start there, then I'll work back with the golf that happened on the course. Is that something that excites you guys, or to see that next generation coming up?
Yeah, I think we like it. I think that anytime you have good competition, it makes the tournament great. I think, you know, it is becoming a younger tournament, which, it, like, if you see the guys that are in the seniors and the super seniors, they were in that spot at one point. But yeah, I mean, to have four collegiate guys play in our city tournament is a pretty big deal, because a lot of times during the summer, you know, there's a lot of state tournaments to play in. There's a lot of national tournaments that some of these guys want to play in. And you know, I think it's a fun competition, and we've talked a lot about the match play aspect of it being such a big part of it. You know, it's exciting, and I hope that, you know, Drew Todd kind of talked about that he hadn't been back since 2019, I think, since he was in the juniors. But, you know, we'd like to see these guys come back, and I think for Jace, you know, who played at North and who plays Cascades regularly, it's kind of a given in a Logan Vernon. But, you know, Jason Bannister, I think, is someone who likes the competition, who likes the local aspect. You know, he's originally a California product, but has had family here and their family just west of town. So I think, you know, his involvement's a big deal. But I think we'd like to see more of the high school players, you know, the upper end, if they kind of take a stab at the men's championship flight rather than the juniors, or, you know, we'd like to see that continue. But if there's, you know, the having that amount of competition is a great thing, and we embrace it.
Chris Williams is our guest. The Bloomington Golf Tournament City Tournament wrapped up last weekend, the 95th edition, the longest consecutive running tournament, we believe, in the state of Indiana. And you talk about match play, and you talked about Jace just not being able to get things going. At that level, in a championship 36-hole match, you got to make birdies, right? Par's just you hanging on. So it really does force your hand once you trail. Is that an accurate way of trying to describe the grind of getting back into it, having to make birdies?
Yeah, I think if you're down going into that second 18, you got to come out hot. You got to get the putter going. You got to start pressing a little bit. And you got to put some pressure, because I think for Jason, you know, Jason hits the ball very far and doesn't have to be in a position where he has to hit driver on every hole. And so for him, playing his game but not having to be overly aggressive gives him the advantage. And for Jace, I think, you know, he tried to put himself into positions to score and get something back. And he was able to claw, I think, within three, and it just wasn't there because Jason was really steady all day long. And, you know, the one thing about 36, whether you're riding or you're walking, when you get to that second 18, you know, the body starts slowing down, the hands start going, the duck hooks start happening. You really stop forgetting to clear your lower body. And you can, you know, I watched all three of the groups, and we saw a lot of those happen where you'd see the blocks to the right or the low left shots because you're getting tired, you're getting fatigued, and it's really starting to mess with you a little bit because you're continuously trying to play competitive golf. And especially if you're down, or even if you're up, you know, if you have the advantage, last thing you want to do is not continue to put the foot on the gas, and you want to keep going until you get the finish.
And that's why I think the 36 holes of match play really represents a true champion. I know we've talked about this all summer long, but you're explaining why to our listeners why you play 36 holes in the final. It does. It is a marathon. You should have to cash in again, playing 54 maximum on the weekend to become a city champion. Now, Jason Bannister, the Phil Talbot Men's Champion winner, back-to-back years, as Chris was telling us, the first time since Mitch Ord in 2013. And 2014. The senior championship, again, just like the men's championship, the chalk was prevalent. One versus two, Jason Bannister defeating Jace Day, but the roles were reversed in the Paul Gray senior championship. Your buddy Jim Alexander turned the tables on one seed Gary Udaly.
Yeah, this was a rematch of the 2020 final in which Gary was able to win. And, you know, and this was Gary won his fourth that year. This was a good match, and I respect both of these guys tremendously. And it was a good match all around. And I think in the end, this one came down to putting, because Jim Alexander was, I believe, he was five up with six to go. And the wheels started coming off a little bit, and he lost three consecutive holes. And going into the 16th hole on his second 18th, or 18-hole round, he hit one into the bunker right. Gary was just short. And this was, I mean, just to show you the competitiveness and the ability to kind of persevere, Jim hit a bunker shot that kind of chunked up on the hillside. And if you know the 16th green out at Cascades, it kind of has a little bit of a uphill rise to it down to the bunker. And then he was just up there and stepped up, and he was probably 2 feet off the fringe and made the putt for par. And that's where the match ended. And I was just thinking to myself, that was a gutsy putt. And it just shows you his ability to be very difficult to beat at match play. I mean, he hits the ball straight, and the short game is his true strength. But again, those two grinded it out, and they kind of had their ups and downs during the round. But it was easily the most entertaining round to watch, because Gary, to his credit, you know, stormed back and won those three straight holes made some very big putts to put the pressure on Jim, and it came down. You know, we were kind of looking and wondering where the match might end because Jim had it up to five, but, you know, the pressure's on. It's, you know, people, if you've been in that situation in a golf match, you know that, you know, it's not over till it's over. But that's two championships for Jim Alexander, two in the last 3 years. And it was, like I said, the most entertaining of the three, definitely the three championship matches that a lot of people who are out there spectating were able to watch.
Yeah, the other side of the coin there is when you're down five with six to go, you can play a little freer because you know you have to make birdie. There's not a lot not a lot of choice, and all of a sudden the putter stroke gets a little lengthier, and all the breathing gets a little bit easier. But Alexander again getting up and down out of there, that's a great way to finish, you know, to win Gary, it because he won it. He didn't lose it. He won it. That's important.
Yeah, and Gary's a competitor. He is someone who has won four times in the seniors, who plays in tournaments and has played in tournaments all across the state of Indiana.
Oh, forever, yeah.
Great competition. Yeah, so he is a true competitor, and he knows that he's not going to – I mean, he's going to fight until the very last minute in a match. So to his credit, it was a very, very good match till the very end.
Yeah, and I think Gary's won the club championship at the Bloomington Country Club a handful of times as well. I don't mean to slander anybody here, but I think that's right. So that's the Paul Gray Senior Championship, two defeats number one, and that's Jim Alexander. The weather on Saturday, did that put you back just a couple hours? How bad was it?
We played through it.
Look at you guys, tough
for a while. Got
tough.
We were watching it. I remember talking with Jason and Jackson Cowden, and they were stressed, as I would expect them to be, because, you know, if you have a delay, it still kind of throws into kilter everything. You're just trying to get through it. But, you know, to my recollection, we did not have a pause in play. All the really nasty stuff went south of us. And so, you know, they had to play through the rain for a little bit, but, the course was not shut down or anything like that. And we got lucky on Saturday and were able to get the matches in fairly unobstructed.
It is an outdoor sport. That is part of the deal. It is not baseball where you can lose the grip and hit somebody in the face with a 99-mile-an-hour fastball. No, you play in the rain a little bit. You played in the rain in Scotland a little bit, didn't you? The home of golf.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things, and it's funny because of the amount of rain gear I took. I think it only rained about four holes in one of the rounds that we played. And largely it was
Murphy's Law. Largely Murphy's Law is what that is.
Exactly.
If you don't bring any of it, if you just have your shorts and a pullover, you're dead. But if you bring everything, there's no chance it will rain. We'll talk a little bit more Open Championship golf here with Chris Williams in just a moment. But the Ross Rush Super Senior Championship, Rory Brown faced Dan Neubecker. The Dan Neubecker that was a 6-7 matchup in the semifinal, correct? And both advanced to the finals. And then Rory took care of business there. He's kind of making the Super Senior Championship his backyard.
Yeah, this is a back-to-back win for Rory, who's played in this tournament for many, many, many years and many different flights. He plays a lot of golf out there. He has for a long time, and he's as good of a putter as you're going to find out there. And so he just kind of put himself in positions to make a lot of really good pars. I think, to my recollection, he had at least three or four putts for par that were over 15 feet that he made. And, you know, it was one of those days for Dan. The putts were not falling. He had Bob Hasty on the bag with him, who's going to know those greens and that stretch of land out there as well as anybody. And it wasn't his day. And, you know, and like you said, Rory's kind of really kind of taken over the Super Senior flight. But to his credit, he's as competitive and really as tough to beat out as anybody out there. So I would expect him to be someone that will be in contention for the next several years, definitely, in that flight.
We also crowned five flight champions in the men's division, senior division, super senior divisions as well. How many flights in total outside of the three main championship flights, Chris, did you hand out trophies on Sunday afternoon?
Let's see. We had our five flights for the men's. We had our two senior flights, three super senior flights, and a junior flight. So it was, you know, all in all, the senior or the championship flights kind of get the notoriety, but, you know, we love the fact that, and this is the whole thing about the tournament, players of any ability, any caliber can go out. And we saw some great matches just kind of coming in, some great putts on of all the flights. And especially, you know, our junior flight, I have to mention that we did have our junior flight returning after a few year hiatus. So we just didn't have enough players in the past. So we're kind of hoping that the junior flight kind of gets reinvigorated and grows. And Ryan Decker was our junior champion, 9-7. And we're hoping, like I said, that we can continue to see the junior flight kind of begin to get stronger and stronger. And, you know, I would love to see it get back to where it was in its heyday, you know, where we had two or three flights of juniors. And, you know, I think that's something with, you know, if we can do some more advertising with that, more word of mouth. And I know the high school coaches are always supportive of that and getting the word out to their players. So we'll hopefully see that continue to grow in the future.
Chris Williams is our guest this afternoon, the 95th Bloomington City Golf Tournament. Wrapping up on the weekend, and as we talked about last Friday, there was a very special ceremony after handing out all the championship trophies. The Hall of Fame committee selected Dick Meacham as their inductee for 2023. And great to see Dick receive his trophy from George Finley. Well, a couple local golf legends there, huh?
Yeah, that was a really well-deserved one of those where it's kind of an easy decision. You know, he has the track record, a champion and three-time runner-up in the championship flights, and someone who has played every year in the city tournament going back to the late 80s. And it's just, you know, as I mentioned to you last week, he's just a gentleman of the game. He, you know, he plays it true to its the way it's supposed to be. He is very courteous in victory and defeat. He's the kind of guy that respects what the tournament and what golf is all about. So we were tremendously honored to have him be as a member of our Hall of Fame.
And the question, because, well, we had another Hall of Fame induction ceremony last weekend as well, the Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame. How many applicants do you review a year? Is it a year-by-year situation? Do you want one person in the class, five people in the class? For people that don't aren't familiar with that process, tell me how it works.
Yeah, we try to induct no more than one to possibly two every year. We haven't, to my knowledge, haven't had more than one inductee for a while. And what we do is we basically go back through. We have everything organized in terms of winners for every year. And you know, we have the ability to go back through records. And we usually have a sense of about five or six people that we have in mind. And this year we kind of did that where we sent out names and got feedback through kind of a voting process and made a conclusion about who we thought was the most deserving of that among the candidates. And I think that's the most democratic way to go about it. And I think that's the way we're going to continue to do it in the future. But, you know, like I said, it's really about looking at the pedigree and the background and the qualifications of the candidates. And we make a decision as a group of Hall of Famers.
Outstanding. Congratulations to Dick Meacham, and we'll see who will be on the ballot for 12. Well, no, we won't. We'll see who wins for 2024 when we do this next year. All right, what's next on the golf calendar here locally that people should be aware of if they would like to get involved and have some fun?
Well, one thing I want to mention while I have the dates already is one thing to kind of give people a heads up about for next year's City Golf Tournament is we have going to have three straight weekends next year for the city tournament. So instead of the past having a week kind of off around the 4th, we're going to go straight through. And part of that is because the July 4th falls on a Thursday next year. And so we thought, it was a great decision made by to kind of test things out by Jason Sims and Jackson Cowden at Cascades. The qualification rounds for the championship flights are going to be the last weekend of June, which will be the 29th and 30th. And then the next weekend, we're going to go straight into the first round tournament. So we're going to have three straight weekends of the city tournament. So the first weekend of matches will be July 6th and 7th. And then the final weekend will be July 13th and 14th. And I think this is going to be kind of a test to see how this does in terms of participation. And if this is something we can consider doing in the future. So it's going to be a little bit different process, but we're excited because we think this could potentially make things easier for people to include the city tournament in their summer plans and potentially gain some more participants.
Interesting. The 4th of July argument is always a difficult one because I know I'm not the only person. If it's on a Thursday, we'll take Wednesday and Friday off and perhaps skedaddle, but there's only so many weeks of summer you can choose from, and when you start narrowing those down, there probably is no right answer, is there?
Yeah, it's one of those things where you're picking your battles because you want to respect the fact that people have plans over the summer, especially around the 4th. It's a big time for people to go out of town, and it's not a perfect scenario. So I think considering that it's more of a midweek thing next year, I think it's the perfect opportunity to kind of see how it plays out and if it's more convenient for people. So, and like I said, you know, it was a good suggestion made by Jason Sims out of Cascades, and we were all for it. And again, it's not really our decision. It's whatever is going to work best for the course, but I personally think it's a great call, and I'm anxious to see how it's going to play out.
Well, we will see how it plays out in 2024, and we've got a fundraiser coming up. I want to make sure you get that in this week as well. Is that this week or next week? I'm getting so confused here because all I can see is the MCCSD first day of school on August 2nd. That's like a tractor beam grabbing my eyeballs when I stare at my calendar.
Are you talking about the Never Lose Hoop?
Right.
Yes, that's coming up 2 days from now. I believe the registration has closed for that. It was noon today, but I know that they were able to get some more teams involved. So we got a pretty good group for Thursday. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be at Eagle Point. I believe it's 11 or noon shotgun. I cannot remember. It's in front of me, right in front of me. But the Holes family has had this organization for several years to support families that are being affected by cancer. And this is really an opportunity to support those families to kind of give them opportunities to enjoy some experiences that can kind of take their minds away from the stress they're feeling with their circumstance. And so it's, you know, like you said, it's a great family, as good a family as you're going to find. And it's going to be a great day of golf. You know, with IU people as well involved on Thursday. It's going to be a great day.
Chris Williams wrapping up with him. City Golf, the 95th edition is in the books. The 96th, annual edition will be on the books starting next June, the final days of June, getting things ready to go. And we have the 151st Open Championship starting on Thursday morning at Royal Liverpool, the Links of Hoylake. Rory McIlroy was the champion in 2014, Tiger Woods in 2006, and before that, you have to go all the way back to 1967 and Roberto Di Vincenzo. So not one of the more frequently raced tracks, but you've played enough links golf, buddy. Stay out of the pot bunkers. Gorse is not your friend, and you better learn how to play the ball on the ground. Do I have it covered?
Yeah, you got to be able to hit the ball down. It'll be interesting, you know, those bombers that the high launch era for golf. It'll be interesting to see any of the kind of stinger shots we see. I like Rory with this. I think last year it just came. It always, I think, it comes down, as we saw with the Open, U.S. Open. It's got to be the putter. You know, from tee to green, he's is as solid as you're going to find anywhere in golf. And if you can get the putter going in the right direction, especially in that last day, I'd like to see him get that major after this long. Absence, so we'll see how it goes. But I think that's my pick. I don't know how you feel about that.
I don't hate it. It's really hard to get off the guy who won it the last time it was at this venue. It's hard to get off the guy that won last week, finishing birdie to have to do it. But the one thing that I just have in my notes that I remember about McIlroy is he just doesn't love the weather. He didn't love it at Portrush in 2019 when he was the favorite. He didn't even make the cut. He's just interesting that way because you think, well, he grew up in Northern Ireland. He grew up in these conditions, and he'll flat out tell you, no, he didn't. He did not go out and play golf when it was blowing 50 miles an hour and it was raining. He moved to Florida for a reason because it doesn't do that down there. So that is the interesting part, and that is the most interesting and innovating part of this golf tournament is Mother Nature's involvement. So The breezes will blow off the Irish Sea. We know that will happen. It's a constant wind, more than a it could blow 50 miles an hour. The Firth of Forth handles all of that fun stuff. But if there is rain, if there are conditions, I just keep going back to Shane Lowry. He just doesn't seem to be bothered by some of that stuff. So I think it will be a regional player. How about that? How about we expand?
Yeah.
I think it will be somebody from the UK or that region. But get up at 1:35. First tee ball's in the air Thursday morning, buddy. Your house or mine?
Come on over. You know, I'll be up and at them, so I'm not going to miss it. So I'll get the coffee going.
There you go, buddy. Awesome.
Oh, you're a tea guy. I'm sorry.
That's right.
You're a tea guy.
I'm happy you remember that. Look at you paying attention. That's very nice of you. That's the nicest thing anybody said to me in a long time. I appreciate you taking the time, as always, in the summer to help us stay in tune with such a historical part of our sporting community and our community in general. And thanks to you and your committee, Connie does a great job of posting all the pictures. You can follow along or catch up. The Bloomington City Golf Tournament's a public page. I know everybody uses Facebook. That's where I get all my information on tournament days. You can go back and relive the scoreboards from all the other flights as well and see all the pictures of the award ceremony. Great job, Chris. Thanks, buddy, and I hope to see you soon.
Hey, likewise. Enjoyed it and appreciate you having me on.
Chris Williams on the Bloomington City Golf Tournament Committee, who helps put this event on with the folks at Cascades annually. 95 consecutive city tournaments, the longest running match play tournament in the state of Indiana. How would you pass that one up? Well, we don't. And we thank Chris for bugging us all summertime long to get us through the process, through the qualifying, into the semifinal Saturdays and championship Sundays in a very cool part of our history here in Bloomington. All right, have a great Tuesday night. The Reds on the radio this evening. Game two, well, they finished up game one here momentarily. It just started at 5:40, so we'll see how long it takes for them to complete last night's weather-affected postponement. 2-2 in the eighth, they picked things up. They will go tonight at 7:10, but Tommy Thrall's pregame will start at 6:40 unless some extra innings fiesta does break out. Thanks for being with us today. We'll be back tomorrow. Rob Bolton, PGA Tour, and Golf Bet will join me and Dave Novak. We will get you ready for the 151st edition of the Open Championship. Have a great Tuesday night.